Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts, if you would, the first chapter. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. After he, that's Jesus, had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, and when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your spirit. Make this truth alive in our lives today. You can do more on the inside than what we can do on the outside. So Holy Spirit, speak truth in every heart and mind today in Jesus' name. Amen. How many have a trip planned this summer? Going to go some vacation. Come on, let's see them. You can be proud. I'm going to go see my grandchildren in a little bit. When we go, we not only make plans to go, but we make plans to come back, right? I mean, there may be a few who just make plans to go and let it happen, but most of us, we make our plans. As a matter of fact, when you're buying airline tickets, you get a round-trip ticket to make your way back. Imagine planning a trip with no return date. Whenever it's the right time, I'll come back. That's what Jesus did. You know? From the word, we learned that there were 40 days after the resurrection to the ascension of Jesus. 40 days is a very well-used time span in the scripture. I wrote down just a few. It rained judgment on the earth for 40 days, Genesis chapter 7. Moses won Mount Sinai for 40 days without food or water. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years in the desert, but those 40 years represented the 40 days that the spies went across the land, promised land. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Jesus fasted for 40 days and nights before being tempted of the devil. The Apostle Paul tells us about this span of time in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse number 5. He says, he, Jesus, appeared to Peter, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So you think of that. We know of at least 513 people that Jesus gave witness that he was alive. That's a pretty good testimony. Now, you know, I find it quite interesting. We are very diligent in celebrating Christmas and Easter. Many even will stop. Many businesses even will close on Good Friday. But we have no day where we celebrate the ascension of the Lord. And yet, it is a grand day. It was a grand day. And I say is because it's so connected. And I want you to see this morning. I want you to kind of get a feel for the ascension of Jesus into heaven. We're going to start with this. And I just love these pictures of clouds. Don't you love it when you look up and you see one of these incredible sunsets or a sunrise? Now, I should mention to some of you, the sun rises in the morning. That may be before you open the curtains, but it happens. It's actually quite lovely to be out walking or doing something early in the morning. But his departure from this world was a magnificent departure. I mean, it was highly anticipated, for one thing. In John chapter 14, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over there. I want to make sure I don't lose this. John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." So Jesus gives here the reason for his departure. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Wow, that has to be some place when it takes 2,000 years to prepare. Huh? Larry, he's been working on your room, your mansion, whatever you want to call it. 2,000 years preparing the place. He's clear as to where it is that he's going. My Father's house. He tells his followers how to get there. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I think it's interesting when he makes that initial statement, he says, "Hey, you know the way." And who was it? Thomas. Bless his heart. He gets labeled a lot, doesn't he? Doubting Thomas. But Thomas says, "How do we know?" Jesus says, "Because I am the way." He said, "How am I going to get to heaven?" Jesus. "How will I find my way there?" Jesus. Grow ever more dependent upon him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Come on, shout with me. This was a necessary departure. Would you turn over then a couple of pages from John to John 16, verse number 7? He says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." Jesus says, "It's necessary for me to go." I'm thankful this morning that Jesus went to heaven. No, I mean it. I'm thankful this morning that he went to heaven. You could say, "Well, you know, wouldn't it be really special to be able to, you know, truck over to Jerusalem, get a flight over there, and be able to go and visit Jesus? I mean, that would be pretty spectacular, wouldn't it?" But I'm so thankful that he went, because the fact that he went, then he sent his spirit back to be in us. And I think of the companionship that I have on a day-by-day basis with his spirit. There was a witness to his departure. Jesus on the Mount of Olives, talking with his disciples as he is taken up before their eyes. I think that they needed a visual before he left. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about when Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah was the only one who witnessed that. The other prophets knew that it was going to happen because the Lord had spoken to their hearts, but they were not present. If you remember, Elijah told Elijah, if you're with me, when the Lord takes me, you're my mantle, or I will give you that double portion of the Spirit of the Lord that you're asking for. And so Elijah's following around. Everywhere that Elijah went, Elijah followed him around. And so they're down by the river, and Elijah smotes the river, or uses that mantle, and the waters open up. They walk across on dry ground. And then lo and behold, the chariot of the Lord comes and sweeps him away, and that mantle falls back down to Elijah. And Elijah says, let's test the waters. And so he goes back over, and he does the same thing, whether he dipped it in there or whatever he did with it, but then the waters rolled back and he walked across on dry ground. And as soon as he gets to the rest of the prophets, they go, we've got to search for him, because somewhere along the line the chariot's going to drop him. Huh? Now just think about this for a minute. If there had not been witnesses on that mountain, even those that followed Jesus would have said, he landed someplace. Let's go searching for Jesus, the mystery departure of Jesus. Huh? But instead, there were hundreds that were there on that mountain to witness him stepping off of the mountain onto a cloud. Ooh, wow. I'm going to do that one day. I just know it. I know it. I've wanted to walk on water. He hasn't let me do that. But I'm looking forward to getting off on a cloud. Come on. Don't you folks ever dream spiritual dreams? My God can do anything. Anything. I just have a feeling that once I get rid of this, I almost told you how many pounds, but way over the number of pounds body, I'm going to be able to just lift right off and do whatever is ever. Oh, God, help us. But just think of that, standing there. Come on, be there on that mountain, on the Mount of Olives. Just picture that. Jesus is talking to them. He's dispatching them. He's telling them what to do next. And then he just steps off onto the cloud and begins to rise into heaven. Wow, where's heaven? Where's heaven? I don't know. It's up. It has to be because he rose up. It's up somewhere. They've got all these magnificent telescopes and everything. They haven't found it yet, so it's above all that mess. Or it's in the midst of all that mess. Who knows? But he left that mountain on a cloud. What a magnificent departure. Better than any sunrise or sunset that you've ever seen. But here, let me tell you something else. It was a significant departure. I found the writings of a man who wrote back in the 1800s that I really appreciate. His name is George Heron, Doctor of Divinity, which, yeah, can be useless. But his comments on the ascension of Jesus really resonated with my heart. He said, first of all, the ascension meant a continuation of the redemptive work of Christ. In other words, what he did on the cross was just a beginning. It wasn't the ending. He says it like this: not until they could no longer speak to Christ face to face did a purer faith draw them within the sweep of God's redemptive purpose. You see, while Jesus was with them, all they could think about was getting in his physical presence. The disciples really did not know what it was to walk by faith and not by sight. So that's what this brother is saying. He said, really, with the ascension, when they saw Jesus go, all of a sudden, they became as we are. They had to believe, and believe enough that they would convey that truth to someone else. You know there's a difference, right? There's one thing to believe yourself, and there's another thing to believe so much that you will tell somebody else. Huh? Oh, you need to take this vitamin. It's spectacular. How do you know? Have you taken it? No, they just told me. Oh, I've been taking this vitamin and I feel fantastic. It's the greatest thing in all the world. Give me some. Huh? You see, what happened on that Mount of Ascension when Jesus left, all of a sudden those disciples, they were faced with the truth that you and I face all the time. Is Jesus real? You say, oh my goodness, they saw him going to heaven. Yes, but they could no longer get to him. They had to believe in him and his purpose in coming, just like you and I have to believe. So in reality, their faith, or if you will, their salvation experience had to take place in that moment. Do I believe that he came for me? Are you with me? You see, this was an incredible departure that took place, because see, as long as he was there, they could reach out and touch him. Let me see the nail prints in your hands, Thomas says. Let me see your feet. Let me thrust my hand into your side. And then they were embarrassed when they actually had to try to do that. And he said, here, Thomas, put your fingers in here. But what's the statement that Jesus said? But greater are those who believe without seeing. He realized that there was coming very, very soon a moment where they would stand on a hillside and watch him leave. And then they would be faced with, now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the truth that Jesus came? I don't think that they really understood the redemptive work of the cross until Jesus was taken from their sight. It was too real. It was too bloody. It was too much before their eyes. They could see it. They didn't have to try to believe it. They just reached to the reality. But once he lifted off from this earth, they had to do what we have to do, and that is reach out by faith and believe. This was not just another man. This was not just another man who was killed, not just another man who even rose from the dead, though I don't know a lot who have. He was the Son of God who came and brought redemption to the world. It meant a revelation of the unity of life. Instead of being a parting, it was a drawing near to the Lord in a higher and mightier fellowship with man, in a more fruitful and comprehensive relationship. You see, again, when they had Jesus right with them, or I should say, when they had Jesus right with them, did you ever notice how strong they were? They were a force. Pulled out their swords, ready to fight. When Jesus was taken away from them, in fear, they locked themselves away in a house. Now he's gone. Are they going home to lock themselves in the house? Or are they going in obedience to him to an upper room to be endued with power from on high? I want you to understand that 12 and those who were all with them had the same decisions to make that you and I have to make. Will they believe that he was the Son of God come to the earth to bring redemption? Will they believe that when we believe, he will send his Spirit into our lives to empower us, to help us to be able to live? He was taken from the sight of his disciples that he might come in touch with all the springs of human thought and action. In other words, you know, he said, greater things will you do in my name. How is that possible? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. That's amazing. But he left. But he sent back the power. Ah, do you get it? He said, where I could only be in one place at one time and be able to be held and to be touched, now I'm going to send my spirit back, and it's going to come inside of my spirit in you, and you can cover the earth. Tell me his going was not significant. It was significant because his spirit spread over all who will believe. The same miracles, the same God, same desire. It meant an enlargement of Christ's personal influence. If to know Jesus, you had to make a trip to Jerusalem, even if he continued to live, but if you had to go there to Jerusalem and you had to get off of a plane, you had to have a hotel, and you had to make your journey to where Jesus was at, and then you had to get an audience with him and had to go in there. Can you imagine how few people on the face of the planet would come to know him? But because of his ascension and then his sending back, by his own words, I got to go so I can send back the Spirit. By his own design, he says, we're going to multiply. We're not going to just add. We're going to multiply by my leaving. My Spirit in you is going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. Magnificent departure it was on the mountain. A significant departure. But here's the part I love talking about. Are you ready? A sure return. Come on, listen to what it says. As they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, hey folks, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven will so come again in like manner as you have seen him go. The one who came to earth and born of a virgin, the one who lived the sinless life, suffered a substitutionary death, rose from the dead on the third day, the one who brought salvation to all who believe, the one who promised the Holy Spirit of God to every believer, the one upon whom you can depend, he's coming back. But a round trip ticket. Oh, there's songs in there. My goodness, I got all kinds. The Lord is coming back to earth again. I mean, wow, come on. Jesus proclaimed that his return would be even greater. Listen to his own words in Matthew chapter 24. He said, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Now hear me. All the nations on earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It won't be a few people on a mountainside. The whole earth will know when he returns. What a day that will be. Amen. Come on. Do you realize, can we realize what I believe is about to happen? I don't know. You know, now think about this for just a second. If, in fact, Jesus did go to heaven, and if, in fact, he did send his Holy Spirit back to be inside of us, okay? Are you with me so far? Wouldn't his Spirit begin to stir the hearts of those who have a longing for Jesus? I hear the trumpets. I hear the bones rattling. I hear things that are beginning to happen, even as the world is getting worse and worse. And on some days, it just makes me sick in my stomach because I see how evil the world is becoming. You know, this week, I won't go too far into this, but the Methodist Church has now come to their resolve. The Wesleys, who started this, and those who poured their lives into planting churches all over the United States. Everywhere there was a post office, they wanted to have a church. And this was the call to get the gospel out all over this land back in the 1800s and 1700s. Listen to me. This week they're splitting. Because of marital things and decisions that are being made and things tracking after this world, in some way trying to keep up with the world in order to win the world. It's not going to happen, folks. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, they're not flowing together. They're going in the opposite directions. We need to understand that. And the coming of the Lord, this sure return, as surely as he left, he's coming. My Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Not a compromised church. Not a compromised people. But a people who dearly love him and are walking in his grace and his mercy day by day. He's coming. Don't wait to hear the trumpet sound before you get your life ready. Don't wait until he breaks the eastern sky, because he told us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's not the time to be trying to make a decision. Huh? I'm telling you, when he left, those guys were thrust to make a decision. Are we going to continue to believe in him even though he's not physically present? You and I are on the other end of that spectrum. Are we going to continue to believe in him until he comes again? Or until he takes us home? Either way, I'm going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor Bill, how do you know it? I know it because his Spirit is inside of me. Mm-hmm. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that in a very true and real way, you can make us witnesses of the ascension of Jesus. And by your Spirit, you can place within us a hope, a glorious hope, for a returned Jesus. Because you said he's coming back. And you do not lie. Master, help us to get ourselves ready. Because when he comes, he's coming back for his bride. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord, to lay down our pursuits of this world and its agony. And pick up the cross daily and follow you. knowing that it will be replaced by a crown one day. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you saw the big picture. You knew that for the world to be saved, you needed to leave and send back the power. I pray that even within this church family, that there would be a hunger for your Spirit to move and to accomplish what you ordained to be accomplished. That there would be a hunger among your people to be looking to the eastern sky, waiting for your return, because we believe in your ascension. We believe in your sure return. I pray now, Master, for any person in this room who cannot with certainty say, I'm ready for Jesus to return. I pray, Lord, that this would be the day that they would believe that you died for them and they can live for you. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me, please? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I'm going to do something this morning that I don't normally do, and you know this. But I would like for all of those who believe that Jesus has a scheduled return, I'd like for you to come to the altar today. Just as a proclamation of belief. Then I'm just going to say a prayer over you and you can go. And I know that this gets into the uncomfortable realm for some of you. Folk, we need to realize we're not wasting time here. We're not just peddling for the sake of peddling. We're on a journey. This Christian life is a magnificent journey. It's a journey for us to grow closer and closer to Jesus. To let His Spirit have more and more of us. And you know what? As we do that, He will do more and more through us. Because He left for that purpose. He wants to use you to touch this sick world, to pray over it, to speak into it, to give them hope and peace and joy, because really they don't know what it is. They know happiness, that's in the moment, but it goes away. They need somebody to tell them what joy is all about. In the midst of terrible circumstances, that there is still joy bubbling up in my heart. Do you understand? Let me pray God's blessings on you as you take the truth of His ascension into the world. He left so that He could empower you and me. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you would entrust the message of life and eternity to people like us. But I thank you this morning that you have designed it in this way. That Jesus would come and pay the price, and then your Spirit would be in us to take the gospel and to reveal the gospel to the world as we live it out. Day by day, circumstance by circumstance, trials and struggles, but with you. Oh God, may your anointing be upon this church family. May your holy presence, your strength, the ministry of your Spirit, every part of your Spirit in their lives, empower them, oh Lord. Empower them as they leave this house to be your witnesses. Wherever they go, whoever they talk to, whatever they do, God, may they realize they are you going into this world. And may you use them mightily this week. I pray, Lord, that there would be souls saved this week as a result of the witness and the testimony of these lives. That as we go out into the world, manifesting your presence and power, that lives would be touched and changed. I pray that the sick would come to these folks to be prayed for, and that the prayer of faith will save the sick, and you would raise them up as a witness and a testimony of your presence in their lives. I pray as the enemy comes against them, that they would raise up a standard of faith, believing that all things are possible through you. And that this would be an incredibly powerful, powerful week in every life. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you believe it with me? Ah, go get them. Bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning. Oh, and be nice to one another as you leave. It's only fair.